You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. How about a quick word here for the King's Court? It is the real soccer pub in Edo. It's right next to the stadium, BBVA Compass, at 903 Hutchins. 13 TVs. They've got giant big screens in there. They're going to show all the Premier League matches, La Liga, Champions League, the Bundesliga, the Houston Dynamo games on the Cube that we call every year. They've got the NFL Sunday ticket as well. King's Court, 24 taps, a full bar, an extensive selection of spirits, wonderful pub food. The butter chicken is recommended. Curry is amazing as well. Get over to King's Court. Visit the amazing rooftop deck. Say hello to Jay. KingsCourtTX.com. And with that, next interview is really, really interesting. I've always liked following Daryl Morey of the Houston Rockets, their general manager, and his insight on things and the fact that he thinks a little bit out of the box. Here's an interview from yesterday I did with Daryl Morey on all things from soccer to the NBA to James Harden, right on down to music and theater. Well, Daryl, I know you have an interest in the sport of soccer, so kind of connect the dots for me.
Rental football, we like to call it, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, big time. My son's big into soccer and watch it, watch the Premier League, the Champions League, everything, pretty much every week. So I feel like I can learn a lot from those guys, meet with their staff. They're ahead on a lot of things, I think, like training and things like that. So it's a good way for me to learn. That said, I feel like mostly I don't know a whole lot, honestly.
But do you see a lot of parallels between the two sports? I mean, the common give and go is evident in soccer. It's in the NBA. A guy posting in the NBA, maybe like a center forward in soccer, posting up on a central defender to get a ball at his feet. Do you see that, the movement and passing of the ball?
I think it's super analogous, except for how the game is scored. I think it's very similar in a lot of the strategy, spacing, uniqueness of offensive talent. Except for the obvious differences of more players and scoring is radically different. I see a lot of parallels.
And you know, the other thing we'd like to get rid of, Daryl, and we're speaking to Daryl Morey, the GM of the Houston Rockets. The other thing we want to get rid of is that term friendly. I can't stand that term.
Well, and they list the home and away team backwards. There's just all these little things that we got to fix.
Absolutely. All right. So let me take you into your role as a general manager. I remember before last season, and I love this, you came out and you just basically set your marker out. You stuck your flag in the sand and you said, you know, our goal this year is to beat the Golden State Warriors. Now, that was an epic series. What, in your mind, is important when you talk to your fan base? Because you are a conduit to your fan base. And when you kind of set out your stake for the year. I think that's fantastic, that transparency you have with them.
Yeah, people acted like it was sort of controversial, and I'm like, well, what is everyone else doing? Like, if you're trying to win the title, it's pretty much a given that you're probably going to have to play Golden State. So I didn't, I tend to say a lot of these things that seem fairly obvious to me, you know, like who's the greatest player in the league, and James Harden's one of the best offensive players ever, and you know, we want to be Golden State, and people sort of take them as radical sometimes, which surprises me.
But is it important in your role as a GM to be an inspirational leader and to really be connected with the fan base? Because I think you do an outstanding job of that. You're always dispensing great information. Does it ever get fearful that it might hurt you from a competitive standpoint?
No, I think it helps us in that it helps our recruiting. I think players around the league, want to be part of a team that has a clear vision and a clear direction. And I think if you read like Jim Collins' management theory, you always want to have a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, and you want to set that direction. You know, that said, it can backfire. We've had down years where people, thought we were crazy, but, before we got James Harden, we were saying that we thought Houston was a big destination for free agents. you know, you do risk yourself looking stupid, but I think overall the calculation is the right thing. You want to be out there and out front.
Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey. I love doing interviews like this with people, number one, that are smarter than me, and number two, that are in sports that I don't know a whole lot about, even though I kind of connect the dots with the NBA. You recently said around the trade deadline, we're buyers. We're buyers. Tell me a little bit about that and why you would say that.
Yeah, I think sort of that's what the media uses, that buyers and sellers term. So I just took that up. I mean, we have one of the greatest players, you know, in NBA history on our team. Actually, I have two of them. You know, one, you know, Chris Paul is already in the Hall of Fame of his career, with his career to date, and he's got a lot to go. And James Harden might be getting close to that as well. And when you have two guys in their prime who are two of the best in NBA history, I mean, what else are you here for except to be buying and trying to improve the team and trying to take down the Warriors and everyone else in the league?
So for me, out of all the pro sports league, I think the NBA is the best at storytelling and telling the stories. I think that's an area here in Major League Soccer that we have a long way to go, and we've got a lot to learn. We have to, you know, kind of grab the confidence of telling all stories and not just the ones that are flowery and good.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that. And is that a part of your job? Is that a part of your job to storytell?
I think so. I mean, at the end of the day, we're an entertainment business. And I was going to say ties and no playoffs. My job just got a lot easier. Still one of the all-time great videos. You know, if people haven't seen it, when they had the football coach go over to overseas. But I mean, we're an entertainment business. At the end of the day, people want to come and see a spectacle. They come tonight because they want to see James Harden do something great, or Giannis Antetokounmpo do something great. So I do think the league office has done a great job of telling stories. I think our game lends itself to that, and you know, I think that's another reason why soccer is so big, is the sports where you don't have helmets or gear that might distance you from the players, I think have a big edge going forward into the future. And I think soccer and the NBA are two, I always say those two plus esports are the big winners in the future. They're going to draw the biggest audiences.
I worry about lack of consequence in Major League Soccer and other pro leagues as well. Do you worry about that a little bit during the regular season, that things can get a little bit flatlined based on, you know, I look at MLS and it's like so many teams make the playoffs. It's, you know, you always hear coaches going,
it's
a long season, you know, and it's like, well, you know, let me know in the long season when you're going to go for it. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword.
I do. I think it's an issue. I think it's an issue with the NBA, and the NBA has looked at different solutions. You want either fewer teams making the playoffs, or you want more tiers. I think the NFL actually does it the best, where the top two teams get a bye, and you have about six making it out on each side out of 32. I like their structure. The NBA, I know, has looked at different ways of having different tiers. You know, the bottom teams have to play their way in and one and done. The top two teams get a bye. You know, these kinds of solutions are probably going to happen in the various sports league over time. You know, things are slow to change. I think soccer is a little caught like baseball, and they're stuck in their history and resistant to change. One nice thing about the NBA and even the NFL is there's more openness to changing the rules and the structure, which I think is going to help both those leagues going forward.
All right. Now, I know you have a big love of the theater. Tell me a little bit about that. Where did that kind of get cultivated?
Yeah, just from a young age, always loved. I even loved concept albums like Pink Floyd, The Wall, and Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell, and you know, stuff like that.
Tommy the Who, right?
Tommy the Who, the most famous. Yeah, I should have mentioned that one first. So,
well, you weren't born then, were you? Were you even born then?
I was around. And you know, and David Bowie had his concept album. So I've always been attracted to music with a theme or a concept, and musicals sort of fit into that, and so it's just been something I've liked for a long time. I can't really explain it too much beyond that.
So when the Rolling Stones come here in April, is that a concept or is that a wheelchair show? Because I'm going, by the way.
I've never seen them live. I actually don't. I'm not sure I want to. I might want to remember them from, like, I didn't. I know. I didn't catch Elton John when he came in. I just I didn't see Queen when they had a replacement lead singer. I Fleetwood Mac's coming in, and they don't have Lindsey Buckingham. So I'm a bit nostalgic. I want to remember them more in their prime a little bit for me personally.
Yeah, I'm 100% on the Queen with you. I can't see Queen without Freddie Mercury. No question.
Yeah, I mean, he might be the all-time great lead singer, so that one's a little tough to replace. Yeah.
Well, and you would appreciate him with your love of theater because he had the great opera singing background.
He did. And he even had the London Philharmonic doing his shows. I mean, it was pretty amazing. A lot of people don't realize that.
Do you remember at the end of his career, he had a really, I believe it was a Spanish lady who was a famous opera singer, and he went over and sang in Spain with her. Fantastic.
Yeah, they did. And I think they did that around when they did the one of the opening songs of the 92 Olympics as well, if my memory's right. So.
Yeah.
But, good stuff. So.
He's Daryl Morey, GM of the Houston Rockets, also a lover of theater and music. Let me just ask you a little bit, if you project out looking at the NBA, what do you see in the future? Number one, from the playing style, do we see anything different? Like in the world of soccer now, it's all about the pressing game, and the minute you lose the ball, you're trying to get it back in favorable areas so you can get immediate chances on goal. What do you see in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, one thing is I don't know, or otherwise we'd be doing it already. But one nice thing about the NBA, and I think soccer is another parallel, is that, styles do change, innovations happen, the game is really dynamic. As teams are pressing, I'm sure there's been counters in soccer that's happening in the NBA as well. I think you're going to continue to see a more and more fun style, and that's really happening. I think it's no accident that ratings are the highest in the NBA against, a plethora of other entertainment options that are out there. One thing on soccer is I haven't really seen, the pressing was something I'd been pushing for years that needed to happen in soccer. It just made sense to me. But I haven't seen the adjustments made on the defensive end in that, teams are still, almost readily playing into those pressing styles, in their defensive end, and instead of playing more positional ball. So again, I don't know enough to really talk about it, but it reminds me in the NBA, the offenses were ahead of the defenses, where coaches were figuring out how to attack more on offense before the defenses adjusted, and I think that's something that's probably coming in soccer as well.
Well, Daryl, you just made it clear you don't like sitting through deep defending soccer teams that are playing for a goal on the counterattack or a set piece. So I'm with you on that one. Thank you. I don't waste my time watching those teams anymore, honestly. Life's too short and too precious. I can't for 2 hours watch a team not want to cross their own halfway line.
Who's the biggest one? Is that team in Madrid, right? Not Real, but the other one, right?
Atletico.
Athletics, they play but actually, I appreciate that they're innovating, even if it's not a style that people like to watch. Sometimes, sometimes it can lead to something greater.
No doubt. I appreciate it too, and it does take work to do it that way. It just seems like there's less and less teams doing that. Certainly in Major League Soccer. Let me get a couple more questions to you and let you get going because I know you're trying to make a connection. We're talking to Daryl Morey, the GM of the Houston Rockets. This has been a lot of fun here so far. All right. All the time I hear this, Daryl, and this just bugs me. I hear people, friends, peers, even people that are within organizations professionally down here. Houston is not a good sports town. Do you buy that?
No, that's wrong. I mean, I think if you saw our playoff run last year, you saw the town was completely behind us, the Astros. So, I mean, I think people say that maybe because Houston's still a city where a lot of people are from other parts of the country. So we often get a lot of fans of the visiting team in our building because of that, just because we're the fastest growing large city in the country. So I think that's maybe why people say that. But But otherwise, I mean, Houston is, you know, I've been in a lot of great sports cities, and I put Houston right up there with any other.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Social media and players now. Obviously, it can be a real boon and a benefit to organizations. It can also be a real detriment. How do you guys handle that at the Rockets?
I mean, we're fully behind it. We sort of take the NBA's lead. Again, we're an entertainment sport, so we actually want our players to be out front as long as they're doing it smartly. And we've got, you know, we've been very fortunate. We have very smart players. So I think obviously you can get yourself in trouble on social media, and I've gotten myself in hot water here and there as well. But I think largely we got players who like to interact on social media and do it smartly. And I think at the end of the day, that's our job. Our job is to entertain. And, you know, I think having your players not on social media doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't. All right, how about one quick word on James Harden, something we don't know about him. We know he's a tremendous basketball player, an amazingly gifted athlete. Anything about his personality?
I mean, I think the thing is he's a quiet guy, so people, like, interpret that in different ways. But, I, you know, as someone who knows him well, he's extremely smart, extremely articulate, and, you know, he really just cares about winning. So I think that's why you don't see him talk a whole lot. And, you know, sometimes that hurts him relative to some of the other players. But you know, I'd say if I had to pick one word, I'd go with outlier. The Wall Street Journal had a nice article today on James being one of the more unique players in NBA history. So pretty cool.
Is it important for you and the Rockets every day to put out information about your players, about the team, you know, about the upcoming game? Is that important that every day that has to keep coming to keep people's attention?
I think that's important. The lucky thing is we don't really have to engineer it just because we have so many compelling players with Chris Paul and James Harden and Clint and just tons of compelling players that other people are writing about us. So that's been nice that we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I do think it is important.
Daryl Morey, the GM of the Rockets, here is the last one. I've saved my toughest question for the last.
Oh no.
How? Okay. I know you, I can tell you're shaking in your boots, Daryl. How do you think Major League Soccer, and specifically here in Houston, how does it get more of mainstream attention and coverage?
I think it's just a matter of time. I would say I've thought a good amount about this, and you know, one thing that's working against it is obviously people are gravitated to the greatest players, and that's why, you know, the NBA is just massive relative to European basketball, which is very good. So, but I do think the analogy is pretty close. You know, the top leagues in Europe relative to the MLS is pretty similar to the top European basketball leagues to the NBA. And the European basketball leagues have found a really, really nice niche over there. Over time, and a lot of the listeners who are soccer fans, the basketball clubs are pretty much the same as the soccer clubs over there because of the tradition. And I think it's just as soccer grows globally, it'll move up. But people should realize it's going to be a slow process, and I know it's been a slow process to this point. But you know, the growth of leagues historically, it takes sometimes 30, 40 years before they reach their peak where they're going to be, and I think MLS is on that path, basically.
Well, listen, Daryl, thank you so much. I'll see you at the Stones concert. I hope you change your mind. And thank you very much for coming on. This is really interesting, and I know my listeners will love this interview.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Take care, Daryl. Best of luck in the rest of the season.
Thank you.
So that was Rockets general manager Daryl Morey, and I agree 100% with him. We do not go see Queen without Freddie Mercury. All right, we'll take a break here. Before we do, though, a quick word here from my friends down at Advantage BMW. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW in Midtown numerous times. I love the drive of a BMW. After all, it is the ultimate driving machine. I drive a 5 Series. I love it. The other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered with sales, service, finance, and it can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down there, say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio. These guys are big fans of soccer. They love the sport. We've even done a live show down there and plan on doing some more in the future. Advantage BMW as we take a break.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.